Revelation chapter number 21. Daddy, is it dying season? One of my kids asked me that this past week, overhearing a conversation that Danny Coker had gone on. One of my kids looked up, tears rolling down her face. She said, "Daddy, is it dying season?" What a question for a little girl to ask her daddy. I've not been able to shake that question all week. That question was magnified yesterday as many of us were in a room filled beyond capacity with men and women who knew not the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women who were there because a man had died. The Bible speaks of seasons. We have the great promise that God would never destroy the earth again with water. And God said after he put the rainbow in the sky that as long as the rainbow was there and as long as the earth would remain, that there would be seasons. And no South Floridian knows what seasons are, but I'll explain that to you in a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, don't turn there, it'll take you all service to find it. The Bible says, to everything there is a season. There is a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. The answer to my little girl's question is it dying season? Is yes. For we are living in a dying season. As long as sin is on the earth, death will be on the earth. But hallelujah, praise God, I know Jesus Christ, and I will live forever in a place called heaven. Amen. The season is almost over. I just believe that our church today needs a glimpse of what we're fighting for. I was not a soldier in our military. Many of you were. But I know that a soldier needs to understand what he's fighting for, and sometimes he needs to be reminded of that. And I know a soldier facing blood and death can sometimes lose perspective of what he was fighting for. And I in no way belittle that. I don't even have a capacity to understand that. I never was in that position. But I do understand that the Bible teaches me that if I know Jesus Christ, I am a soldier of Jesus Christ. And I understand that I am on the winning side. The battle sometimes can get long. The battle can sometimes get hot. The battle sometimes can get heavy. And once in a great while, we need to be reminded of what we're fighting for. We need to be reminded of what God has for us. And so I want to read you some passages today that thrill my soul. And I want to begin in Revelation chapter 21. And I want to preach you a message today entitled, Heaven, the Home of the Redeemed. Would you begin in verse number 1? John, this is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The same John who wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. The same John wrote this book, Revelation. And God gave him a description, a revelation of heaven. You find in the very first verse of chapter 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And God's people said, Hallelujah. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. He goes on to describe the great city. You come over to the end of that chapter, and he begins to talk about the gates and the pearls, and he begins to talk about the no need for light, for God will be the light. And you come to chapter 22, and he continues in this vision in verse number 1, and he says, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And God's people said, Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I praise God for what he has in store for his wonderful children. I praise God that there is a place and there is hope where there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, and no more curse. Oh, we live in a sin-cursed world, but I promise you there is a world where curse is not Lord, but Jesus is Lord. And I promise you that world is beautiful beyond description. I promise you that world is peaceful and glorious and marvelous. And I know we labor today under the curse of sin, but I love what he said in verse number 3, and there shall be no more curse. My God, what would you give for a hope like that? I preach to you today, heaven, the home of God's redeemed. I love to know and believe and understand and dwell on the fact that heaven will be my home. If heaven will be your home today, say amen. Amen. There's something special about home. Your home may not be special, but it should be special. I love to be home. I sometimes anymore, I get to where I don't want to go out in the evening. I get home after work and we eat, and we used to run out and shop or run and do things. I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to be home. You say, we know your children. That kind of surprises us too. I know, but I send them outside and I sit inside. You know, when you get home, the journey is over. The longest I've ever driven in one shot was 23 hours. Got in a car, drove 23 hours straight. My wife promised at the beginning of this journey that she would help me drive. She drove through Louisville, Kentucky and quit. And I had to drive. She drove 1 hour and I drove the other 22 hours. I remember getting to the Florida line and I don't remember how I got home. But I do remember getting home. I love to be home. When your home journey is over, when your home work is behind you, when you're home, you're out of the elements. Oh, when it rains and it pours, and you just can't wait to get inside. And when the snow would fall in the north, and you've been in it all day, and your bones were cold, you come home, and you would be warm at home, out of the elements. You would come home, and no matter what, there would be love, and there would be safety. My friend, there is a day for God's redeemed when we shall be homed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be out of the elements of sin. It will be full of safety and trust in the Lord. The journey will be over. We will arrive in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. We need to understand that because we live in one mess in a curse-filled world. But hallelujah, Jesus has redeemed our soul. Think about that. I want to help you today and look at heaven. And I want to answer some questions today. And I want to center our thoughts on heaven. Where is heaven? You say, well, I don't know, preacher. It's up. Where is heaven? Did you know the Bible speaks of three heavens? You know, the Bible says that where the birds fly and where the airplanes fly, that level of this is of the firmament is one heaven. The Bible says very clearly in Genesis, in the first chapter, that there's a second heaven, which is the second solar system, and where the sun and the moon and the stars are. There's the first heaven that would be in our atmosphere. There's a heaven that would be up there with the solar systems. But Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven. And if you would translate and you would study the third heaven, you will find in Isaiah 66:1 that the Bible says that that is where the throne of God is. I'm telling you that heaven is where God is dwelling today. Heaven is where my loved ones are. But I believe that I can tell you a little bit of location of where heaven is. We sometimes say, well, it's just up. Let me read you something. When Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, the Bible told us where heaven would be. The Bible says this, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And it goes on to say that Lucifer in his heart said, I will be like God. I will sit in the sides of the north. 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 Now, if you're a southerner, don't leave me because I know you have a hard time with northern people. Listen to what Psalm 48:2 says. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. When God came to Moses and God said, kill those animals and pour out the blood on the sacrifice there, did you know that God in Leviticus chapter 1 told Moses to pour them out on the side of the north? If you study the tabernacle, you study the offerings, get you a concordance, look up the word north, and you will find that all of the description that God gave to show them the Levitical offering and the substitute offering that would be coming in the person of Christ was all to be done on the side of the north. Where is heaven? It's in the north. Where at in the north? It's past the North Star. It's in the north. It's not just up, but the Bible says clearly that it's in the north. Pastor, I just thought heaven was everywhere. I want to assure you about something. Heaven is not just everywhere. Heaven is a specific place. Jesus said this, if I go to prepare a what? A place for you, I will come again that there ye may be also. You know, we love to have a place. I'm so glad that heaven is a definite place. For example, when you go on a trip, we'll say, do you have a place to stay? Now, when my in-laws come, I just go ahead and tell them, you can stay over there at the hotel. But when my family comes, we offer a place to stay. Nobody goes anywhere with not having a place to go. Why didn't you go over there? We didn't have any place to go. What'd you do last night? We stayed home. Why? Because I don't have any place to go. I want you to know something. I have a place to go, and it's a place called heaven. It's a sure, steadfast place. Jesus has built the place. Think about the great architects of our time, of our world. Go back into history. I'll tell you, they pale in comparison to the architectural ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think that you've seen the wonders of everything on earth. We haven't seen anything till we get to the place called heaven. Where is heaven, Pastor? It's in the north. It's a definite place. Pastor, what will we do in heaven? I get this question all the time. I don't know why we think we're all going to be floating around on a cloud and kind of just hanging out. People ask me all the time, Pastor, what are we going to do in heaven? Oh, I got a great answer for that. Look at Revelation chapter 22 and look at verse number 3. And then I can also show you from Revelation chapter number 7 what we're going to do in heaven. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, the Bible says, there will be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall do what, church? Come on. Serve him. Go to Revelation chapter number 7. Look at verse number 15, speaking about those that have come out of great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 15 of chapter 7 says this, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Here's the answer to what we're going to do in heaven. When we get to heaven, we will serve the Lord Jesus. You say, preacher, that doesn't sound like thrilling to me. The greatest joy on earth is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And you see, how depressing it is. And I really believe that churches all across, and God's people all across the nation today, we're so meager in what we think about the joy of serving the Lord. And we try to maybe serve the world a little bit over here, and we try to serve the Lord over here, and we're not fully committed or fully surrendered to the Lord. And so we're kind of depressed and discouraged, and there's no joy in serving the Lord. But I'll tell you this, if you want joy and you want happiness on this earth, then forsake serving the world and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest joys of a man's life and the greatest joy of heaven will be serving the Lord. Now, I know what you're going to think. I'm going to get bored. Let me go on a little bit before I even answer that. Did you know what else they're going to do in heaven? You're going to sing in heaven. Amen. That's my thing. Let me show you some marvelous passages. Look at Revelation chapter 14. All right, and I'm going to make some application, but we need this. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. We understand this to be those Jewish men and women that have been saved, his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Would you go to Revelation chapter 19? Look at verse number 5. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. What are we going to do, preacher? We're going to be singing in heaven. We're going to be serving in heaven. I watch you here, and if you can't sing down here, you're going to be miserable in heaven, because we're going to sing. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. No. Watch how unridiculous this is. You see, we think about boredom, and we think about time. But understand this, there is no such thing as time in heaven. You won't be bored. You won't even understand what time is. A day, it would be like 1,000 years. 1,000 years, like a day. We get bored because we associate everything with time. But when Jesus comes back and when we're in heaven, there will be no time. There will only be eternity. So then that boils this right down to where the rubber meets the road. It better be enough in my heart to serve the Lord, and it better be enough in my heart to praise the Lord, or heaven's going to be miserable for me. You see, we don't sing and we don't serve because we get bored with that today. But oh, my friend, we'll sing the new song of the redeemed. We will praise our God and we will serve him, and it will be the entirety of our life, and we won't be bored. Hallelujah. I look forward to that day. Preacher, when do we go to heaven? Well, I almost went yesterday via some automobile, but I praise God I didn't go. When do we go to heaven? I'll tell you when you go to heaven. I talked with a man this week about this. You go to heaven as soon as you die. What do you mean, preacher? How do you know that? Because God said so. Well, what do you mean? Paul, under the inspiration of God, wrote this: for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. If our life was over, I have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My friend, if you know Jesus Christ, when you take your last breath on this earth, immediately you are with the Lord in heaven. Why is that important? Now, here's where we're going to get some people a little upset, but I'm right and you're wrong. There is no such thing as purgatory. Here's what I beg of you. You take any Bible you can find and you try to find purgatory. There is no soul sleeping. There is no intermediate state. There is no reason to light a candle after somebody has died. They make their decision on earth, absent from the body, is present with the Lord. You see, that stuff was all started to get money. That stuff was all started in defiance of Jesus Christ. I can prove it to you. Paul said, I'm in a strait desiring to be there. When Stephen was dying, Stephen looked up and he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And I'll give you a testimony that makes me shrill to my very being. Not only is the same true that when a Christian dies, he'll be in heaven, but the same is true if you die without Jesus Christ, immediately a person will be in hell. Let me give you a testimony. My father-in-law loves God. My father-in-law preaches the word of God. My father-in-law would give his life for a man to be saved. In his community, there was a man who was in hospice care and he was dying. The family hated Jesus Christ. The family built a bridge. They literally defended their loved one and they would not let my father-in-law get in there with the gospel. They stood in the way. If you've ever seen somebody in hospice and once they get sedated, their body begins to become lethargic. They feel no pain. They don't even move. They take the death roll, the head tips back, the skin begins to cling to the skeleton. We call it peace, but they don't feel any pain. They're getting ready to go. This man was in that condition. His family is around him. The testimony goes like this: out of all of that medicine to sedate him, out of all of that sedation, his head cocks back. He begins to push and scream and kick, and then he was gone. Now, my friend, I'll tell you this. That man went kicking and screaming into a place called hell. Do not tell me there's not a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. The Bible says it's real. Amen. See, there's no fooling around. It's absent from the body, and I'm with the Lord. Or if I defy Jesus, I'm in a place called hell. I'll tell you this. I know many testimonies that people have seen the Lord before they've gone in, and I know many testimonies where people speak about the flames and the darkness and the screams, and I praise God that I know Jesus Christ, and I'll be in heaven one day. Pastor, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Oh, one of the greatest joys in all the earth is going to be the reunion of heaven. How many have somebody in heaven today? You have somebody there waiting on you. Preacher, when I get there, am I going to be married to my wife? No, you won't be married to her. Hallelujah, amen. No, you'll be married to the Lord Jesus. Only the Lord Jesus is better than our spouses, amen. Pastor, am I going to know you? Despite my full head of hair, I'll help you understand. I meet people all the time, Publix, Home Depot. Anymore, I can't go out dressed like a bum because I run in there and I got to introduce myself. You look at me and you're like, huh? I'm like, I'm the preacher. Really? Yeah, that's me. Hello. Am I going to know my loved ones there? Get that song ready. Number 8, we're getting ready to hear it. You're going to know them. You're going to know them. They're going to know you. You think they're just floating around empty and without regard and despair? They're with Christ. And one day we'll be there together. But I want you to understand something. Nobody in heaven will mean more to you than the Lord Jesus. Nobody. I sat in an auditorium with 3,000 preachers. And a man stood up to sing a song. And he stood up to sing a song that we sing here. You sing the song, Brother Brooks. I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. And he talks about going to heaven. And he talks about recognizing all of the loved ones there. But there was none greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you very respectfully. I'm going to ask you very quietly and understanding that God will be speaking during this song to listen for 6.5 minutes As we hear, I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. Heaven will be heaven because the Son of God will be there. Heaven will be heaven because Jesus is there. My final question is, preacher, who goes to heaven? Well, there's a lot of answers to that question. Some think that those that live the best they can go to heaven. Some think only church members go to heaven. Some think that you have to be water baptized to go to heaven. Some think you have to give money to go to heaven. Some think you got to light a candle for somebody so they can go to heaven. But if you would look at Revelation chapter 7, verse number 14, here is the one that goes to heaven. And I'll read you another verse. In Revelation chapter 7, verse number 14, he said, I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest who these are. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. My friend, the person who goes to heaven is the person who has the righteousness of God in him. The person who goes to heaven is the person who's been robed with the righteousness of Christ. Jesus said in John 4:16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. In John chapter 10, Jesus referred to himself as being the door of the sheepfold. He that entereth in not by the door, but climbeth in up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Heaven is not for everyone. Heaven is for those who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who heaven is for. That's marvelous. It's enough to know what we're fighting for. Now the question is, are you going to be there? Are you going to be there? Well, preacher, my daddy was a Christian. Am I going to be there? No. Preacher, I believe in God. Am I going to be there? No. Preacher, I know there was a Jesus. Is that enough to get me there? No. There must be a time, sir and ma'am, when you stop and you confess yourself a sinner before God, confess Jesus to be the Savior, repent of my sin, and ask him to come into my heart. And I'll tell you this, upon that time, heaven becomes your home. Forever, you have a place, a name written down in glory. If heaven is your home, say amen. Amen. If not, it can be today. We needed a good shot of heaven today. We need a good shot of heaven. We need a good shot of understanding that our Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I hope and pray today you would know Christ. Would you pray with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Preacher, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I can give you a Bible answer. Preacher, I can tell you from the Bible why I know that heaven is my home. I don't have to pull some resource. I don't have to tell you why I think it is, but I can give you a Bible reason why I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. If that's your testimony, could I see your hand? Just lift it up if you would. Hold it. Don't put it down. Hold it. Be proud of it. Let me look around. God bless you. Place it down, please. You may be here today. You say, Pastor, if what you just said is true, then heaven is not my home. I do not have Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I sure want to be saved. I sure want peace with God. Pastor, I'm not ashamed and I'm not embarrassed, and I know I need prayer. Don't embarrass me, preacher. Don't call my name. Don't come get me. But as discreetly as you could, would you pray for me? Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I would not go to heaven, and I need prayer. Pastor, pray for me, please. If you'd lift your hand, I'd pray for you. Just have enough courage to slip it up and slip it down. I'll pray for you. I need prayer, Pastor. I'm not sure that heaven's my home. God bless you. Somebody else. Somebody else. God bless you. Somebody else. God bless you. Pastor, I'm just not sure. just a moment, we'll have an invitation. The invitation is to you. If you desire to know Christ as your Savior, we would ask you to just to simply get out of your seat, walk to the front, tell Brother Jay you want to be saved. Preacher, are you going to embarrass me? No, we're not. We're going to take you outside into another room for a few minutes, show you how you could be saved. No embarrassment. Christian, can I talk to you just a second? Maybe you forgot that heaven's your home. Maybe you forgot what you were fighting for. Maybe you forgot that you're not home yet and you've been struggling with the world and decisions. But I tell you, he went to prepare a place for us, and that's our home. Maybe you need to come and do prayer with God today. Heavenly Father, God, some raised their hand. I pray you give courage today. Everybody in this room is praying that they would have courage to come and be saved. They have no greater friends than the people in this room. So God, I pray you give peace and courage there. I pray for the Christian today. Oh, we're on the winning side. The joy of serving Christ. God, maybe there's a need there and they need prayer. Meet that need, I pray in Jesus' name.